ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
You can't have sport at this level without politics. Uh-huh. But seriously, there's no such thing as a FIFA Peace Prize. It was invented to keep Donald Trump on side and on focus to get to the deadline of a FIFA World Cup.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find us on ABC Listen.
So we might be on the cusp of a new multi-billion dollar broadcast deal for Australian sport. It may well be the most lucrative deal in history, and the NRL will be taking that crown from the AFL. So what does the huge amount of money on offer tell us about the nature of sport in the Australian media landscape, and who's ultimately going to be paying the bill? Welcome to ABC Business Daily. I'm Carrington Clark.
And I'm Ian Verinder, the ABC's Chief Business Correspondent.
Ian, thanks for joining us. Really interesting analysis over the weekend. We thought we might have an announcement by now. What is going on? When will we know exactly who has secured the rights to the National Rugby League here in Australia?
Well, it really is odd because all the word was that it was going to be last week. And then everybody who was sort of hanging off the announcement said, oh, it's tomorrow. Then it was the next day, nothing happening here. And it just went on. And now we're into the following week. Tomorrow, of course, is State of Origin, which is a huge event for the NRL. And
one of the marquee events of the year.
So today would have been a great time for them to announce this. But still, radio silence. And so maybe it'll be Thursday.
So you've been dealing with insiders who know what's going on, but it appears, and the way that they want this to be projected, is a major victory for the NRL, where they will be securing north of $5 billion, which would be bigger than the deal that the AFL struck back in 2022. This would be kicking in, I think, start of 2028, right? The current deal goes until 2027. It would be made up with, if we actually get signatures on paper, of Foxtel being the major financial contributor to secure the streaming and cable rights effectively, $500 million a year, partnering with Nine Entertainment again so that certain games will be broadcast on free-to-air, three games a week, plus the grand final, plus the State of Origin. They'll be chipping in $150 million a year, and then a New Zealand broadcaster chipping in the extra $50 million. Is it fair to say we still don't know exactly the makeup of how much of that is cash versus potentially in-kind advertising, for example, or production costs that might be incorporated? Because I think the NRL and Peter Vlandis want to have the bragging rights, don't they, of saying that we have struck a better deal than what the AFL got. But do we know exactly of how much of this is cold, hard cash versus other types of inducements?
I think you might find that when it's announced that the $5 billion is cash. Now, you can add in more because of contra arrangements with advertising, which I'm told are never really quite as valuable as they're made out to be. And then there's also been negotiations over whether Fox and whether the NRL does all the production work, as in, you know, basically film the games and so forth, and then sells that back to the codes or the stations themselves, Nine, the Kiwis, and Fox. So, you know, but I think you'll find the $5 billion figure, which would easily outstrip the $4.5 billion that the AFL got. And then on top of that, you could add, you know, possibly it could come up to about 5.3. And, of course, if there's another team added, and we're talking PNG, and we make up 20 teams, that will increase the amount of money again. So it's probably rock bottom five and possibly as high as 5.3 or even a bit higher. So,
and do we suspect then that the fact that this has been delayed is because they're trying to work out what extras are on top of that $5 billion? Or is it possible that the whole deal could be scuttled? Because from your reporting, from other people's reporting, what basically happened was Peter Vlandis, a very powerful chairman of the body overseeing rugby league in Australia.
Yeah, the Australian Rugby League Commission. Yeah.
And he said to them, to Nine and Fox, we want you to come up with your own individual deals. We don't want kind of collusion early on.
That's
they
right.
wanted to try to create a competitive situation. There's not a lot of big media players in Australia, so they needed to try to create some sort of competitive tension. And what happened was that Nine went away and came up with its own deal, which would have had Nine still having its free-to-air the free-to-air games, but also its streaming platform, Stan, would have been effectively replacing the Fox part of the current deal.
Mm.
And Fox apparently didn't like the sound of this, so then they were looking at their own kind of go-it-alone. But because of the anti-siphoning rules, they needed to have a partner ready for the free-to-air games. So that could have been Channel 7, could have been 10, I think.
Yeah, it would have been 7.
And so there was some sort of competitive tension. But then in the end, after I guess they've put out their best offers, they have been convinced to kind of come together to get the maximum amount of money for the NRL. But is it possible that now on the edge of signing the deal, one or both of those parties have decided, well, maybe we can actually go with this effectively alone?
That's what the reporting has been around. No one really knows the answer to this. But, I mean, the reason why it's become such a, I guess, hotly debated topic is because of the leaks that came out of the Nine newspapers. And so, you know, why were those leaks so strategic and so detailed as well? And, you know, there's a couple of reasons. You know, one wag suggested, well, maybe the whole Carl Stefanovic blow up, they're just trying to blow some smoke around that and, you know, take people's mind off
it. Look over here type situation.
Yeah, but of course, as you know from covering business, a lot of the time when there's a deal about to be struck, one side will strategically leak a lot of information to try and push the deal across the line. And it may well be that the Nine Network decided, or Nine Entertainment as a company, decided that we'll get this out. We're paying a huge amount of money here. In the aftermath of that, though, there were reports that Nine was trying to, you know, basically secure rights for the entire, you know, for Stan, and so as though the whole thing hadn't been decided. So it is really quite odd. Look, in terms of comparison with the AFL and the NRL, it's quite an interesting comparison because AFL traditionally is a much more valuable game for a broadcaster because it's a higher scoring game. And because it's a higher scoring game, it gives you more opportunities to put advertising
right
before people's eyeballs, essentially. Right. So when you've got relatively low scoring games, you know, you can't really do much because you're interrupting the flow of play. So soccer is, you know, surprisingly, is a really valuable franchise, but it's not one that's really advertiser friendly. But in terms of, if you want to, you know, choose between AFL and NRL, AFL really has the advantage there. So the fact that they've managed to score at least $500 million extra than the AFL deal, and the AFL deal was considered to be extraordinarily high at the time.
Yeah.
So this is a really, you know, incredible deal for the NRL.
And it is interesting because on one hand, part of the narrative or context is Australian media companies are under huge amounts of pressure. Advertisers, the money coming from advertising for traditional TV in particular, it's just not what it once was. And so you would have thought, even though maybe the NRL has been growing in popularity, it's become a more national, now international, even more international game, that perhaps Nine in particular wouldn't be able to find the extra cash needed in order to outbid Foxtel effectively or to partner with them.
Well, look,
and yet we are seeing even more money. So how do we explain this seeming discrepancy?
Well, you know, just to put it into perspective, a decade ago, the entire deal for the NRL was worth around about $1 billion. So in the space of a decade, there's a fivefold increase.
Yeah.
That is huge. Now, in terms of the individual components, I mean, if you look at Nine, around about the COVID era, Nine struck a deal for $90 million for that at that stage. That was then upped immediately after COVID to around about $115 million. And then this deal is $150 million. Now, that's in the space of really, 5 years or so. That's a really big increase for a free-to-air network, particularly when you take into account what's happening for that free-to-air network on the revenue side.
Yeah.
So on the revenue side, I mean, according to, I think it was Goldman Sachs report I read last week, or it might have been UBS, advertising revenue for Nine is likely to be down 16% this year. So you've got a squeeze on the revenue side on the top end, and you're boosting your you know expenditure on a marquee sport at the other end to try and get viewers in. So that is going to really squeeze Nine's profitability. So what do you do to do that, to cover that?
And there have been examples in the past when there is ferocious bidding to secure certain rights to sporting events. I'm thinking cricket or maybe the Australian Open, where eventually a party has walked away because they say it's become unaffordable, right? Yeah. We're not actually going to be able to get the return on this investment. But it seems like if Nine can't secure the rugby league, then what do they kind of have left, right? Because there's so much resting on their ability to bring in the big audiences, for particularly these marquee events. Fox, it's even more essential to their subscription model, I think. It obviously sport is, for many people, the main reason they continue to pay the money for Fox. So it seems like they cannot walk away from this, if they have rights to other events.
Well, they're defending their patch here, right?
Yep.
So they've, and the pair of them have been partners. Nine and Foxtel have been partners in rugby league for, 30 years or something.
Yep.
And really, I think the relationship probably started to break down. I mean, there's always been, friction between them, obviously, but the relationship really started.
Well, they're both partners, but also competitors in many ways,
right? Particularly now, in the past 10 years, they're competitors because Nine has launched Stan, its very own streaming service. And of course, if you were running Foxtel and you're in partnership with somebody on a marquee sport like this, and what's happened in these negotiations is that Nine has figured, we need to get the rugby league for Stan, right? So we need to cut Foxtel out of the game here. And that has really, put a massive wedge between the pair of them. Stan.
And the context is, remember, the Foxtel KO, which is their sports streaming service, they have a partnership with Seven to do the AFL.
Yep.
And then they have up until now had this partnership with Nine to do the NRL. But if there was a situation where Nine was able to take the full rights and use its streaming service kind of in direct competition with Foxtel, that maybe puts their business model under pressure, particularly in kind of New South Wales, Queensland, where NRL is by far the dominant sport over AFL.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, everyone has had a tough time in media in the past 15 years or so. Foxtel has emerged as probably one of the better performing businesses, at least financially. But it's been under pressure as well, which is why it has KO. I mean, it's had to try and slim down. It can't charge the kind of premium that it used to charge subscribers because you've got all of these streaming services like Netflix and everything else from around the world, which have impacted their revenues from subscriptions for entertainment. But sport is the bedrock, right? You tie sport in, you've got a rusted on audience for the length of that contract.
And Foxtel is no longer, people might still think that it's still owned by News Corporation or controlled by the Murdochs. It's been sold out to a company, DAZN, this is their bread and butter. That what they do is secure big sporting rights around the world, and they think that is the business model that works for Fox. So you can understand that they are not going to give up this battle without a fight, a ferocious fight. And so I would be surprised if Nine, particularly given its relatively precarious financial situation, the pressure that it's under from its existing legacy businesses, that it would have the ability to be able to outcompete Foxtel. Is that where we're potentially heading?
I think that's where Nine thought it was heading. Whether they had the firepower to be able to take on DAZN, it's DAZN, all caps. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I guess it is DAZN. But that's run by a Ukrainian-born, London-based billionaire named Len Blavatnik, and he's backed up by some serious money from around the world, including from Saudi Arabia. So there's a lot, and it's a better performing business as well. I mean, DAZN itself is still losing money. I think it's losing around about $1 billion a year, and it bought Foxtel for a little over $3 billion. But Foxtel is a profitable business, and it's doing quite well. So there is ammunition in the tank for Foxtel to be able to outbid 9 on anything. And as I said, they're defending their revenue yeah. patch. They're not going to give this up easily. So for 9 to come in with a really, you know, big offer and try to get that across the line, it was just never going to work that easily. And, you know, here you've got Peter Vlandis running the NRL going, well, thank you very much. This is just a gift from heaven. And interestingly too, I mean, the NRL is also in a relatively much stronger financial position than it used to be. So it's yeah. not just sitting there saying, we're desperate for cash, please give us something. You know, he's really holding the chips here, Vlandis, because the NRL has had 5 consecutive years where it's operated at a surplus.
One of the things I remember with the last time we went through this kind of negotiations was the suggestion that we could move eventually to a situation where the NRL just takes most of its production in-house. Now, you've suggested maybe that's even a conversation as part of this, but given how important the rights are, and for many people it's the reason that they have a subscription service, does that business model make sense? That and A, would there be the expertise, or would it be overly complicated for the NRL or even the AFL to try to effectively control the whole thing, vertically integrate, as they say, where they create their own streamer that they charge directly charge the public directly in order to access those games? Is that a situation that we get to, particularly because, as you say, the financial situation of these games has improved. The media companies are under more and more pressure. Yeah. Might not even be that expensive to buy some spectrum if you wanted to set up your own TV station. Is that a possibility?
It is, but I mean, the NRL has gone down this path of, you know, farming the broadcast out to these other parties. Now, you know, I remember 5-10 years ago, there was talk that why do we need a 9 or a Foxtel or anything else? Let's just get it all in-house. We can just stream it ourselves and, you know, we'll just cut out the middleman and make all the money. Clearly, they see that media companies have an ability to, maybe it's the advertising, whatever it is, there's a rusted on group of Australians, and not just Australians, people around the world who go to traditional media outlets, even the newer ones, and the streaming services, yeah. they go to them.
And you'd like to think there's a level of expertise yeah. of talking up our profession. Yeah. You know, there is a certain level of technical skill within these organizations, the way of communicating.
You can always buy that in though, can't you? You know, like if you were the NRL and you thought, well, we're just going to go it alone, you'd come to the ABC, you'd go to 9, you'd go to all the major, and you'd offer everybody jobs who had the expertise to put those programs together and do it yourself. Clearly, there's a business case to have it farmed out to other players like, you know, Foxtel and 9 or 7 or whatever, because are there any sporting bodies that actually do it alone?
Not ones of that kind of size, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe some of the smaller ones might be have their own streaming, yeah. you know, ability to watch it online.
I mean, if you're a sports fan and you want to go, you think, oh, 7's got all the best sports. It's got tennis. It's got all the things I want to watch. So you just put 7 on and it comes to you. You don't have to go, what is the tennis on at the moment? You know, and you've got to look up a website to do it. I mean, it's always possible to do it, but people do like to sit in front of a television and have it presented to them.
So one of the big political debates in the past few weeks, or really for an extended period, has been around gambling reforms. And many people have been very critical of the government's response to this recently, where they've accused them of having effectively a soft touch. There will be pretty minor, I think, in the scheme of what was being suggested, changes to how much gambling advertising we can see on television and around sporting events, which, yeah. as anyone who watches sport at the moment in Australia would know, it's kind of blanket coverage, isn't it? That the gambling advertising, both in the traditional ad breaks, but also, you know, at sporting stadiums, etc. Do you think the fact that the government didn't go harder on reforms is part of the reason that there is still so much money to be paid for these type of sporting rights, and how big a dent to the business model would be made if the government was to go harder and kind of heavily restrict the amount of advertising, gambling advertising they can sit around sporting events?
Yeah, and look, publishers have dabbled in sports betting themselves. There's been partnerships with online sports betting agencies. Clearly, there's a lot of money involved there, and it's becoming all pervasive, really. I think you really do have to have some kind of restrictions about it. But you're absolutely right. There is so much money, and that of course, attracts quite a deal of power to the people offering the money. And, of course, the networks and ultimately the game itself is really keen to get a slice of that cash as well. So everyone has got a vested interest in ensuring that this gambling problem that we've got actually gets worse rather than better. And, of course, those tentacles link right through into governments. We've seen it, you know, state, federal, governments all around the world with where gambling has become a problem. And so it's not a very easy thing to solve, but clearly the money from gambling is funding a lot of these sports broadcasts and the codes themselves.
That's it for today's episode of ABC Business Daily. We'll be back with another episode for you tomorrow. Make sure you are following us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to send us a question, you can email abcbusinessdaily@abc.net.au. Catch you next time, Ian.
See ya.